I wish to draw your attention today to the particular possessions that the believer has now in Christ. Some of those blessings are set forth in this beautiful hymn that we have just had sung for us. How well known it is, "I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory." Now these definite, certain, and eternal blessings that this hymn sets forth are not in the imagination of the hymn writer at all, nor are they merely poetic expressions. They are solid facts of truth. They are revealed in God's holy, infallible word, and they are presented by the living, pleading Savior himself from the glory. It is a Savior that you need, dear listening friend, and it's a Savior you may have. It's a Father you need. It's a righteousness you need. It's a peace that you need. And all these you may have freely from the Lord himself. In fact, I want that you should notice that it is God's desire to bless you. Even though you have no desire yourself, he is not willing that you should perish. And he is the one who wants you to be the receiver of his mercy, his blessing. Isn't this remarkable? Oh, that you today might be brought into the position where you realize and confess your need. This is what is required. And when you see your need, as he would reveal it to you, oh, let us remind you then that he is there to meet that need. He wants to bless you with an eternal salvation. First of all, let us consider the fact that you need a Savior. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read, "It is true, all we like sheep have gone astray." Yes, this is what sin has led us to. We have turned everyone to his own way. And really, that's what sin is. In essence, it is lawlessness. It is a desire to do our own will, to go our own way away from God. This is true of every son of Adam. This is true of you, the listener. This is what has led us into the path that causes us to be lost. Lost in sin. And if our gospel be hid, Paul writes, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not. But the good news of the gospel is that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. He is the one that sets himself forth as the good shepherd of the sheep. And though you are a lost sheep, let us tell you that he is the good shepherd that came to save you. We see him going forth after that one sheep that was lost, stooping down, picking him up, putting him on his shoulders, and taking him home, putting him down, rejoicing. Oh, how he would illustrate through this wonderful incident of that good shepherd himself, as the one who came all the way from glory down to the depths of sin where we are, by nature and by practice, that he might save us and redeem us. He is there right at your side. He has given his life to pay for your sins. Nothing short of this could rescue you. The life that he gave was the ransom price that was demanded, because the wages of sin is death. But the blessed Lord Jesus is standing right at your side. He is the good shepherd that is waiting to hear your cry of repentance. He's longing that you come to him, that you allow him to pick you up and to save you with an eternal salvation. And then you will have a Savior too. The hymn writer says, "I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory, a dear loving Savior, though earth's friends be few." And this is one who will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you must know him first as a Savior. Let me ask, is this your Savior? Is the one who is my Savior your Savior too? He wants to be. But you have another need, as the hymn brings forth. You need a Father. Now, God is not the Father of all men. And I want you to remember that. He is the Father of spirits. He's spoken of as that in the Word of God. That is, he is the Creator of all men. But he is not the Father of all. He is God the Father only of those who believe on him. You see, sin has disrupted the relationship that man had with God, and we all have been born into the world dead in trespasses and sins, that is, spiritually dead, with no life Godward. That's why the Lord Jesus, when he was here, said to that religious, moral man, Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," or born anew, born from above. Our first birth by natural parents is one that is all wrong. It's in sin, shapen in iniquity. And that is why we sin. We're born sinners. In order to get into the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus Christ has come to do a work that will enable you to be born into God's family, that you might know God as your Father. Is there someone that's asking, "Well, how can this be?" I trust so, because the Word of God reveals very plainly how we can be born into God's family. Let me tell you that Jesus has done the work to effect this. He has satisfied God about the question of sin, and he himself is the eternal life which you need that will put you into God's family. In John chapter 1, we read these words, "As many as received him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." This is his word, dear listener, and I want that you should look at it. Get your Bible, John 1, "As many as received him." You want to be brought into God's family? You want to know God as your Father? Accept Christ as your Savior. How can you accept Christ as your Savior? He tells you there, "even to those that believe on his name." To believe means to trust. It implies an adhering to. It suggests one to whom you commit yourself, trusting him. This is what he asks. This is more than just simply an admission of facts, which you might admit to, the facts concerning the person of Christ and his work. This is personally appropriating for your own need him whom you accept for your Savior. This is what brings you, dear friend, into relationship with God as your Father. And as Paul writes in Galatians 3, we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I say again, God is not the Father of all men. He is the Father only of those that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and thus are born into God's family. Let me ask you, as the hymn writer says, "I have a Father. To me he has given a hope for eternity, blessed and true." Is the hymn writer's Father your Father? Oh, I rejoice to tell you he's my Father, and I desire that he might be your Father too. And let me remind you, the Lord Jesus is pleading with you to accept him that you might know God as your Father too. But there's another need that you have. You need a robe. You need a robe of righteousness. Now, this implies that you need a fitness for the Father's house. All of us, by nature, according to Romans chapter 3, are those of whom it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. Sin has rendered us to be unrighteous, and thus we have no fitness before God." And then in Isaiah chapter 64, we read something further, that all our righteousnesses, or deeds that we might do, even though they are good, are nothing but filthy rags in his sight. And so then, dear friend, it is absolutely impossible for us to do anything to make us righteous for God to accept us. It is absolutely out of our realm. We are, on the one hand, rendered to be ungodly because of sin, and then also whatever we do is without strength to meet God's requirements. We are shut up to receive now from God. If we are to be blessed, we are to be the receivers. But I want to tell you that our God the Father has a robe to give you. that will fit you for his presence. And we see this illustrated for us in the wonderful story of the prodigal, one who had wasted his substance with riotous living. He went away from the Father. But finally, we know he came to himself. After God allowed him to go his way, he lost his money, he lost his friends, he lost his respect, he had nothing but rags. But oh, he thought of the Father's house, and he came to himself. He said, I will arise and go to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. In a word, he had repented. And this is what God calls you to. You have gone away from God, and you have been rendered unfit for his presence because of your own willful sin. But our God is one who wants to receive you. And when the prodigal returned, and though he deserved a whipping, the Father gave him a kiss. Oh, dear listener, this is the heart of God told out to you. This should clear from your mind any doubt as to how God will receive you if you come to him. He loves you. He does not love your sin. But, oh, he longs that you should come to him in repentance. And if you do, he will receive you. And then he said, bring forth the best robe and put upon him. The best robe is figurative of the Lord Jesus Christ, our fitness for the presence of God. It is not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of God that we are made. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, the Lord Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You cannot get to heaven in your own fitness. You have none. You cannot work your way. You are without strength, but you can come in repentance and receive the righteous robe that the Father will put upon you. He accepts you as you come in Christ. In Ephesians, we read of the believer that he has made us accepted in the Beloved One. Christ is the robe of righteousness. He is the one that has, by his death, taken care of our unrighteousness. And he now is our fitness to be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This he holds out for you. This, the hymn writer says, I have. This is what I have by God's grace, and this is what the Savior wants you to receive. But one final thing, you'll notice that the hymn writer says, I have a peace, and you need peace. You know you need peace. You need peace with God because you are at war with him. Yes, you are. Sin is that which has produced the enmity. It has caused you not to want God. It has caused you to go your own way. You are against God. You are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You are at war with God. But the blessed Son of God has come into the world, and he has made peace for you by the blood of his cross. You need peace. Christ has procured it by his own sacrifice at Calvary. You see, your sins are between you and God. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross is that which will remove your sins. It will remove the cause of the war and the hatred that you have toward God. Our God has accepted that sacrifice. He is well pleased with what the Savior has done in giving himself and shedding his blood for you. And now, the Lord Jesus stands as the one who offers himself to you for your acceptance. He offers you peace. You are never told to make your peace with God. You are told to accept the peace that he has made. And this peace is in himself. In Romans 5, we read, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer could say, I have a peace. It is calm as a river, a peace that the friends of this world never knew. And perhaps you have never known it up to this moment, and you desire to have this peace with God. You desire to be able to put your head on the pillow and know that it is well with your soul. Should death come, or should the Lord Jesus come to the air and call the church home, you are at peace with God. You shall be taken home to the glory. Yes, the sins that were between you and God have been removed. You're not at war with him. You have peace with God. And I'll tell you, if you believe on Him, you're justified by faith, and you have peace with God. And then let me tell you this, that in thus doing, you receive the person who is your peace. And regardless of how the times may be so difficult and troublesome, as long as you're left here in this world, you can count upon the peace of God to garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus, through His Word, says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is the peace that the Lord Jesus wants to give to you. Have you received Him? Well, then you have His peace. And He wants you to rest in His peace. And we read in Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Dear listening friend, these are but four of the multitude of blessings that the Lord Jesus is pleading that you receive. Will you not today, right as you listen, right there by your radio, bow in repentance to Him, own yourself as a lost, ruined sinner, and receive from Him the blessing of a Savior, a Father, a righteousness that'll fit you for glory, and a peace that nothing can disturb? God grant that you will, for your blessing and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.